your life is most influenced by the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. Because whatever is manifest in the physical is first present in the spiritual.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. Some of you have told me that, and I know that. And I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this has been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence, a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. One of the things that God is doing is bringing together people that have a vision for church planting in the city of Chicago, bringing the gospel witness to neighborhoods. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways. Let's get ready for today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us again. We are in part two of Pastor Mark's message called Take Your Place, and our text will be found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, as we continue on in Pastor Mark's new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Paul said, we worship a God that cannot be contained in stone, a God that cannot be contained in wood. We worship a God that is alive and well, an invisible God that rules over the heavens and the earth. And so we make no statues, we make no stones, we make no wooden images, because our God is alive and well in spirit and in truth. And so by the way, parenthetically, let me simply say, I have people that walk into this former warehouse, and they look around at this auditorium, and the first thing that they say is, where's the statues? This church must be poor. They can't even afford one nice little image. Now, let me tell you, there is more than an economic reason why we have no images hanging on the wall. There's more than an economic reason to why we have no image of Jesus on the cross hanging, or an image of the Virgin Mary or St. Paul or St. Peter. The reason that we have no image of that, no statues in this place, is out of biblical conviction. Because I have seen too many people look at images and begin to pray to those images. I've seen too many people light candles to images. I've seen too many images become sacred. And the Bible says, thou shalt have No graven image before me. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no graven image before me, which means that when we have a statue made out of wood or made out of rock or made out of any other thing that we begin to pray to or think that it's a holy sacred relic and we begin to ask favor of that, it is an abomination to God Almighty and it hurts the heart of God. It's in the Ten Commandments. You say, well, Pastor, I have some images in my home. Listen, I know that some of you come from a background where you have images, and I don't want to be harsh on you, but if it were my house, I'd clean my house. You say, well, I have it there to gain the favor of God. Well, the very thing that you have to gain the favor of God is turning the wrath of God against you. You say, well, Pastor, it just helps you worship. Listen, what needs to help you worship is your spirit. You worship a servant of God in spirit and in truth. And the reason that we don't have a crucified Christ hanging here is I'm afraid, first of all, he didn't stay on the cross. He resurrected. He's alive and well. He's not on the cross. He died, but he has risen with power and might and glory. And the God that we worship is here today. He's here in spirit and in truth. He lives within your heart. He has the power of resurrection, the power of healing, the power of salvation. He's a God that cannot be contained by any image. He cannot be contained by stone or rock. And the Bible tells us that these idol makers worked the crowd up in such a frenzy that they gathered people in this auditorium. I've been in the auditorium, the amphitheater in Ephesus. It seated 24,000 people, the largest amphitheater that the old world knows about. I kneeled on the stage of the amphitheater when I was in Ephesus, and I got on my knees and I pictured this crowd that was chanting, "Long live Diana, the God of the Ephesians, long live Diana." And I got on my knees in this amphitheater and I said, "Oh God, give me the boldness that Paul had to not be afraid to speak the gospel even before a crowd that would have killed him at a moment's notice." And the Bible says that they snuck. Paul wanted to go preach to this crowd. The believers said, "You can't preach. They'll kill you if you walk into that place." And they snuck him out of the town. Shortly after that, Paul went and met with the elders of the Ephesians on the beach. And they wept and cried together because Paul knew that he would become a prisoner. This letter was written 4 years after he met with the leaders on the beach. And now Paul is a prisoner in Rome. He writes this letter to the Ephesians, these people that he's loved and been with and watched them grow, these people that he's taught and ministered to. Now he's a prisoner, writing words of encouragement to them. And the essence of the letter is this: hey, God has given you all that you need to succeed in life. It's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of remember who you are in God. It's a letter of no matter how hard things get, I want you to remember that God is for you, that God is with you, that God has done a work in your life, that nothing can stop you. Stand firm in what you've been taught. Rise up to the place that God has called you to because you are the church of the living God. Basically, what Paul is doing is Paul is saying, I want you to know what you have in your tool belt. Some of us Christians, we have a tool belt, but we don't know what's in it. So you have a screwdriver and you're trying to bang a nail in a piece of wood because you don't know there's a hammer in your tool belt. It's like getting a computer, a Mac Pro. And not knowing how to use it. How many of you are a little bit computer illiterate, like you need a lot of help? And someone tells you, hey, here's this computer. And you say, well, I paid a lot of money for that computer. All the things that can do. But since you don't know how to use it, to you, it's a glorified typewriter. You don't know that you can create photos and you can do images and do spreadsheets and you can get on the internet and access books and there's so much and talk to other people via Skype and there's just so much that you can do, but because you don't know how to use it, to you all you can do is type one finger at a time a couple letters and you would be as well off with a typewriter as with a Mac Pro computer, not because you don't have a lot of resources there, just because you don't know how to use the resources that have been given to you. You don't even know how to access them. You don't even know what you have because you have not been instructed in how much you can do with what you have. And the Apostle Paul is talking to believers and he's saying, hey, you don't know what you have in Christ. You're living a certain way because you haven't understood who you are and what Christ has done for you and how much victory you can have. Some of you are asking for more when God is saying you don't need more. You just need to know what you have. Some of you are looking for the next experience and say, well, I need a revelation or I need a retreat or I need to go to Montana and meet God in the wilderness. I need something more than what I have. And what Paul is saying is you don't need more. You just need to understand what is already yours. You need to tap into what God has already given you. And here's what he tells him. And let me just, You know, some people get really scared of theology. Theology is the study of God. And I'm about to jump into a portion of Scripture that's not easy to understand. This is not five ways to improve your marriage, three ways to overcome a habit, six ways to think better. This is theology. But listen, unless you're grounded in theology, and sometimes we think theology is boring, but theology is not boring. It's the study of God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Take Your Place, which is from our brand new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. His message, take your place.
When you're into someone, the study about that someone is not boring. I'm into my wife, so I want to know what she likes. I want to hang around with her. I want to talk with her. Why? Because I'm into her. Seriously. Listen, when you are into God, you're going to have a thirst and a knowledge to know God and understand who He is and what He's done and understand the person of God. You will want to know about God. And that's what theology is. It's the understanding and the revelation of the person of God. And these next verses really, they're loaded. And so you're going to have to, hey, listen, if you're used to little crackers, you're going to have to chew a little bit more on these pieces of meat because they're hard to digest. Okay, you ready to chew? All right, some of you are, some of you aren't. All right. So what is in this tool belt, first of all? Let me give you quickly four. And I have little time, but I'm going to try to cover a lot of territory in a little bit of time. First of all, you need to understand what is already in your spiritual tool belt. Look at verse 3. It says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Man, I could stop there. We could go home and you would already have more than what you could chew on, probably. He says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. If you're taking notes, write it down. First of all, you're blessed, and this speaks to your position of favor. Now, I want you to understand what heavenly realm talks about, because it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the spiritual realm, not heaven. This world has two realms. We have the physical realm, that which you can touch, smell, hear, feel. Now, that's the physical realm. But there's another realm that we live in that some of us are unaware of, and that's the spiritual realm. It's a realm that you cannot experience with your five senses. It's a realm that's as real as the physical world, but you cannot see it with your eyes. You can only discern it with your spirit. In this realm, there's good and there's bad. In this realm, there's the Holy Spirit and there's the fallen spirits. In this realm affects the physical world. And what God is saying to you is that God has made available in the spiritual realm every single blessing that you need is in the spiritual realm. Listen, He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In other words, every single thing that you need to be successful, to succeed, to have victory, to make it, to live fully for Christ, has already been given to you in the spiritual realm. It's already there. Now, here's the thing. Some of us undermine the importance of the spiritual realm, but here's what I want you to tell you. Your life is most influenced by the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. Because whatever is manifest in the physical is first present in the spiritual. The spiritual determines the physical. Go back to the beginning of creation. God spoke. God being a spirit, when there was darkness and void, the Spirit of God hovered over the chaos and He spoke, and light was separated from darkness and earth was separated from water. Why? First of all, it was in the spiritual realm, and then it was manifest in the physical realm. The spiritual realm always has power over the physical realm. So if you win the battle in the spiritual realm, you will win the battle in the physical realm. But if you lose the battle in the spiritual realm, you've lost the battle in the physical realm. Are you tracking with me? Every blessing that ever comes into the physical world, first of all, is birthed in the spiritual realm. Jesus had power over storms. Why? That power came from His authority in the spiritual realm. He spoke and the waters were still. Why? It came first from the spiritual and then was manifest in the physical. And what God is saying is that everything you need to succeed in life, He's given to you in the spiritual realm. Every single thing you need is given in the spiritual realm, and it will affect the physical realm in your life as well. Number two, write it down. He says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." The second thing I want you to write down is this. Not only are you blessed, and it speaks to your position, but you are chosen, and it speaks to your destiny. Oh, I want you to hear me. This is going to blow some of your spiritual minds away. For He, who's He? God, chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Hold on a second. Put the pause button on. God chose you before you were even a twinkle in your Father's eye. God chose you before there was even a world for you to be born in. That means that God chose you, knew you by name, knew you by identity. Thousands and thousands of years ago, God made a decision to choose you before you ever existed, before there was even the thought of you,
before there was even the concept of you, God was already aware of you and chose you, elected you before the foundation of the world. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, how in the world can that be? I mean, how could God choose me? I know some of us say, I found God. And that's part of your testimony. You know, I was pretty lost and messed up, and I came to church and I found God. Well, let me tell you, I understand what you're saying, but it's really wrong to say that. You didn't find God, first of all, because God was never lost. Secondly, you didn't find God. God chose you way before you ever found him. Way before. You see, he chose you, which means that he didn't just choose you, but he chose you for a purpose. Listen, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Holy means set apart unto God. Blameless means it's the outliving of our holiness. So God says he chose you before the foundation of the world so that you would be set apart for the purposes that he's called you to. God has a destiny for you, and God has known your destiny way before you were ever born, way before your parents gave you a name, way before you had a social security number, way before you had a last name. God knew you, chose you, destined you for a purpose in this life. And that should give some of you just a sense. Oh, a sense of destiny. Thirdly, write it down. It tells us here in verse 5. And he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to be to the praise and the glorious grace which he has freely given us to the one that love him. He predestined us. You know what predestined means? You cannot understand the predestination of God unless you understand the foreknowledge of God and the election of God. And I realize that there's a lot of debate over this. And there, in essence, there's two camps within the church. And those of you that are new believers probably have never heard of these camps. But those of you who've been around a while, you've heard of these camps. There's a group of people that embrace what is called Calvinism. How many of you have heard of Calvinism? Okay. Calvinism, it's named Calvinism after John Calvin. And John Calvin was a theologian back in the 15th century that emphasized the sovereignty of God and the work of God. And in essence, what John Calvin said is, you can't come to God, you can't experience God, you can't be saved from saved on your own, that it's all a work of God. God predestined, he elected you, you can never be saved on your own. And he emphasized the sovereign power of God, the grace of God, and the strength of God, and he puts all of salvation on God. Then on the other hand, we have Arminianism. Arminianism was started by basically a theologian, Arminius, who emphasized the free will of man. And he would say, yeah, but the gospel comes out and everybody has the power to choose. You either reject the gospel or you accept the gospel. The gospel's presented and you say yes or you say no. Now, here's the way it works. There's a bit of truth in both camps. You cannot be saved. This is not merely a choice of your own. You are so fallen by nature that even if you wanted to choose God, you would not choose him. You are saved only. You come only to God because God first reaches out to you. Because God first sends his grace to you. Because God first awakens you. You cannot be saved on your own. It's not your good works. It's not you choosing God. It's God reaching out to you. God empowering you. God giving faith to you. You cannot be saved apart from the work of God. On the other hand, it's clear from Scripture that the Bible says it's God's will that all men should be saved and come to know him. But not everybody does. So there's a mix of the sovereign work of God and the response of man to the message of the gospel that goes out.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago, with the second half of his message entitled Take Your Place. It's from our brand new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Join us again tomorrow for part two. what you know changes you. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.